I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the second of 2 Scottish Cup semi-finals. Rangers take on Hearts at the National Stadium, with Philippe Clement's side aiming to bounce back from a disappointing week. The Jambos have aims of their own, looking to make a 4th final in 6 seasons. And whoever wins will meet Celtic after the most dramatic of penalty shootout wins against Aberdeen yesterday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me once again, Gordon Diel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Yesterday's semi-final between the Aberdeen and Celtic was entertainment on an almost surreal level. A contender for the greatest Scottish Cup tie ever played. Today's semi-final amounts to drama on a more serious level. Rangers have infuriated their own supporters with bad performances and drop points against Ross County and Dundee. 3 bad games in a row historically adds up to a crisis at Ibrox. But if Rangers beat Hearts today, they get them to keep. 4 games between the clubs this season, quadruple wins for Rangers. However, our football has taken on an unpredictable look. Could Hearts continue the trend and beat Rangers? No.
Oh, yesterday was simply incredible, and I think we're in store for another cracker this afternoon. Setting v 3rd in the Premiership in this semi-final, going for a place in the final against Celtic. Both teams will do their best to try and entertain, but they won't care if it's entertaining as long as they get through to the final on May 25th against Celtic.
Looking forward to it. You can't say anything else after the excitement we got yesterday. Nearly 3 hours of drama at Hampden. Will we get the same today? I don't really know. Thanks, Andrew. But I'm certainly looking forward to this afternoon's game.
Yes, if yesterday is anything to go by, even a fraction of that drama and excitement, we are in for a treat this afternoon. So sit back and enjoy. It's a much more miserable afternoon than it was yesterday. So get Clyde One Super Scoreboard in your ears and stay in touch all afternoon at Clyde SSB. I will give you the nod when it's good to phone us on the usual number as well. But without further ado, let's go straight to the National Stadium, because some huge team news coming out of Hampden with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, there is some massive team news on a day where, you mentioned it, the weather is a bit more miserable than it was yesterday. It has been a miserable week for Rangers as well, hasn't it? Losing to Ross County, dropping points to Dundee, putting Celtic in the driving seat for the title, and also fans questioning some of the things Philippe Clement has been saying in the media as well. A defeat here today and they risk the wheels completely falling off. But could a win spark a return to league form with just those 5 post-split games left to go? Up against the Hearts team, who have amazingly never beaten Rangers here at Hampden. However, they will take confidence from the fact that they've won 7 of their last 8 Scottish Cup semi-finals. To that big team news, and it's Conor Goldson who drops out of the starting lineup for Rangers. He has been such a consistent presence in that Rangers team for a long, long time now. But Philippe Clement has made the decision to drop him from the starting lineup today. Tom Lawrence, Fabio Silva and Kamar Roof all drop out as well. In come Balogun, Diamandé, Matondo and Dessa. So it'll be Jack Butland in goal, the back 4, James Tavernier, John Souter, Leon Balogun and Dujon Sterling, the 2 holding midfielders, John Lundstrom and Mohamed Diamandé, Abdallah Sima, Todd Cantwell and Rabi Matondo in behind the lone striker today, who is Cyril Dessers. So substitutes: McCrory, Goldson, Silva, Lawrence, Dowell, Roof, Barisic, Raskin and McCausland. Three changes for Hearts: Cochrane, Oda and Mackay out of the starting lineup. Kingsley, Forrest and Vargas come in. So Craig Gordon retains his place between the sticks for the Tynecastle side. The back four: Nathaniel Atkinson, Frankie Kent, Kai Rowles and Stephen Kingsley. The three in midfield: Cammy Devlin, Benny Meningame and George Grant, with Kenny Vargas and Alan Forrest either side of Lauren Shanklin. The substitutes: Clark, Oda, Mackay, Cochrane, Denholm, Tate, Fraser, Tagawa and Lembekisa. The referee here at the National Stadium is Stephen McLean and the VAR is Willie Collum.
Hugh Keevans, how do you look beyond the dropping of Conor Goldson, because that's what this is? He's pretty much played every single meaningful game since joining the club way back in 2018. He very rarely misses out. If he does, it's because he's injured or maybe he's been rested. But this is a straight up dropped from the team, isn't it?
Since Rangers imploded in Dingwall, the Super Scoreboard jury on a nightly basis has blamed Goldson. And the Rangers fans, I don't think, will be unhappy that he's not there. I only wonder, since he's not on the bench either, I wonder if he's injured. And
no, he is
have
on the bench, I think, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's on the bench.
No, he's on the bench.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. This is a dropping. Yeah, you know, there's no other way of describing it.
In that way, then he's been binned. But I go back to the Rangers supporters who look at the club, who have been infuriated, as I said, by the displays and results against Dundee and Ross County. And they blamed, among others, Conor Goldson, and he today is the fall guy.
Mark, that's what, look, players get dropped from teams. That's not earth-shattering news, but when it's this player, and it's so rare, that's why it becomes such a big talking point. You even go through the entirety of this season. You know, he was really the other times he's been out, the team, he's been rested, really, because you look at maybe another big game round the corner, or there's been an injury or a suspension or whatever. He plays all the time, and he's been at the club for almost 6 years. So it's massive to see him not named in a game of this magnitude.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it was going to be a big story either way. Had he played, it was going to be a lot of pressure on Goldson's shoulders and the manager's shoulders because of his poor performances in recent weeks. But overall, this season, and I mentioned yesterday, it's going to be a big call for Clement, and it'll show you the type of manager he is. If he just rolls with it and keeps rolling on with the same team, or is he a statement manager who reacts to what he's seen in front of him? He's shown today, with his team selection, he is reacting to what he's seen in recent weeks. It's a big call. I think it's the right call at this minute. I would think a lot of Rangers fans would think the same. So it's a big day for the Rangers manager, big day for the Rangers players, and he's made the first big call right away.
Because the priority today, Gordon, is to put a team out that's your best team, it's your best chance of winning. That's clearly why Philippe Clement's done it. But it's huge, as Mark said. It's a big call, it's a big statement. So how does it work today? What does it look like
going forward
as well? It's potentially a really big moment.
Yeah, and you look at as much as I don't think Rangers were that poor, but they weren't that good on Wednesday night at Dens. It was a clean sheet for the back four. I said yesterday that I thought if Balogun was fit, he'd bring Souter in the right hand side. I think that gives Tavernier a bit of cover, who likes to go up the pitch. You know, he plays very high. Balogun's got good pace about him. I'm not surprised with it, Gordon. I've got to say, Goldson's come in for an incredible amount of stick recently. And I think it's just a case of the manager deciding to take him out of the firing line.
Philippe Clement is looking after Philippe Clement today, because the Rangers fans are not happy. I can give you personal testimony to this, because on a rainy Sunday morning, I took myself into the ticket office at my local railway station and met a room full of people buying tickets from Mount Florida going to the game. And I was assured of two things. Aberdeen lay down to Celtic yesterday, and
even though they scored three times.
Yes. Okay. Aberdeen lay down to Celtic yesterday, and Philippe Clement will be in trouble if Rangers have a third bad performance today.
Why'd you get into the ticket office, not just buy it on the app on your phone? Never mind.
No. A what?
The other thing, Gordon DL, though, this isn't, it's not the only change, it's the headline one. The guy who benefits, the guy who comes into the team, is Leon Balogun. Rangers fans have been calling for him to come back into the team. He's not started a game since the 3rd of February. He came on very late on in that Celtic game, you'll remember, to try and shore things up, or to kind of add an extra physical presence. He's been ill, I believe, but he's not started a match since the 3rd of February.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I think the manager likes him, puts a lot of trust in him. I think he gives him that bit of pace as well. And I like Balogun the way that he comes out from the back. He likes to come and get into the middle of the park and try and make things happen. I've got to say, watching Goldson lately, and let's not just look at Goldson individually. There have been a lot of those players underperformed. You know, you look at Tom Lawrence was a big favourite and people were saying, well, we play him before Cantwell. Show today, semi-final, the manager thinks different. Roof has been left out for Dessers. He's been coming under pressure as well from the Rangers fans. It's a big day for a lot of them.
Does the pressure almost then go on Leon Balogun in a way, Mark, to prove that it's the right decision? I must say, having looked it up, this would have surprised me. If you'd asked me off the top of my head, how many games has Leon Balogun played for Rangers in 2024, this calendar year?
Not many.
Three.
Yeah.
One,
15 overall.
He came off after 22 minutes against Livy, and he came on with a minute to go against Celtic, and then a full 90 with Livy against Livy sandwiched in between. That is his lot in this since the turn of the year.
Not a lot, and not a lot this season overall as well. It kind of shows you the extent of the problem, though, that the Rangers manager thinks he has at central defence. If you are then opting for someone who has had minimal football this year, who sat on the bench and been ill last week, then it goes to show you what he thinks of Conor Goldson at this minute in time. That's why it's such a big call. Yes, of course, the pressure then shifts on Balogun's shoulders, but he's an experienced Rangers player. He's had quite an interesting career in terms of being at Rangers, being allowed to leave, and then coming back as almost just a kind of backup player, but finding himself now in such an important position for the team, going through such an important period for them. So big pressure, but those round about him as well got to respond in the right way, because it wasn't just, isn't just Goldson, should I say, it's been culpable over recent weeks. Tavernier to the right hand side, how will he respond to having a different personnel inside him? You know, whether that be Suter, or if it is Balogun, I think it will be Suter plays there. Will that look better? Left back Sterling,
will it suit John Suter better?
Will it suit John Suter better? Yeah. Of course. So the whole dynamics to the team changes with Goldson out it, because he's been such a permanent fixture. That's why this is going to be an interesting 90 minutes ahead.
But Hugh, the focus is on Conor Goldson because he's Conor Goldson, and because he plays every game. But as Gordon quite rightly points out, there has to be an onus on Rangers match winners. It was 0-0 to state the obvious the other night. It was a clean sheet, but the bad bit really about the other night was going forward. So Kemar Roof's paid the price, and Cyril Dessers comes in for all the massive price tag. Fabio Silva doesn't seem to be cutting it in the eyes of the Rangers fans at the moment. So I suppose the onus really is on Rabi Matondo and Cyril Dessers to score the goals that fire Rangers through.
The gloves are off today for everyone. As I say, my companions in the ticket office this morning assured me that this rot began with losing to Motherwell at Ibrox, where it was clear that things were not gelling. And since then, the 3-3 draw with Celtic, which Philippe Clement foolishly described as a moral victory, and then followed it up with what was certainly a victory for Ross County, and the performance at Dens Park, which again Philippe Clement tried to dress up as something else. So the gloves are off for everyone. For those who couldn't score at Dens Park and who have paid the price, those who come in are on trial as well. This is a game that Rangers must not lose. And as I say, I think that they're fortunate in that they have a heart side who have some kind of psychological block when it comes to Rangers. One via play cup tie, three league games, four defeats for Hearts.
Philippe Clement has the chance to obliterate this entire discussion by coming out with a microphone in front of his face and saying Conor Goldson's not feeling well and he's only fit enough for the bench. Maybe he will. But if we take it at face value at the moment, Mark, it's quite hard to kind of fact check these things. But as far as I can see, genuinely don't think he's ever been dropped due to form, ever, in the time at the club. You know, the games he's missed, he's either been injured, suspended, or they've been, you know, lower league opponents in the cup, that sort of thing. Yeah. I can't really find any other, and there might be one or two over the period, but I genuinely think this could be the first.
Yeah, and let's be honest, that's down to Conor Goldson being such a good servant for Rangers over the years. You're thinking the amount of big football matches he's taken part in, on merit. But I think it was last week I said everybody's got their shelf life at a club, and when you go so long, is it 6 years he's been at the club, did you say there, you know, sometimes things just catch up with you, sometimes a club moves in a different direction, sometimes things just go stale. And for Conor Goldson, it's beginning to look like that this season in particular. And the manager in charge at that period of your career has to make a big decision to move in the other direction. Now, Philip Clement has opted then to go for Balogun, somebody who's been there, tried and trusted, a 35-year-old, so he's plenty of experience. But it's interesting what it means for next year. Do Rangers go in for someone in the next window to be a centre-half for the next 5 years to replace Conor Goldson?
Clement is an unforgiving man. You know, we go back to the Cantwell substitution in the first half at Ibrox because he wasn't doing what he was told. Off. Doesn't matter whether it's the first half or not. And clearly he has had enough of some players in the team, as I say, starting with Motherwell, then the Celtic game, Ross County, Dundee. He's had enough with some of them, and that's the way it is with Clement.
On the flip side, Gordon, let's look at Hearts starting 11. There is a big call, a headline up to a point, but we kind of knew it was coming. Craig Gordon is the Scottish Cup goalkeeper for Hearts, and they've actually taken it a step further this time. They played him in the league last weekend against Livingston to make sure that he was ready to become the Cup goalkeeper again. So no real dramas there, no real surprise, but still perhaps an extra focus to see how that pans out.
Yeah, big day for him. I wasn't surprised. I thought that was good management last week. Hearts really didn't have a lot to play for. They're cemented third place. It was against Livingston, who can't buy a win. Give him a bit of game time. He made a mistake for the first goal. So it gives him another 90 minutes under his belt before a semi-final. I look at that Hearts team. There's some good players in that Hearts team. I said yesterday about Aberdeen as well. The only thing I said about Aberdeen was they were underachievers. I don't think you can label that at Hearts. I think they've been a good running for them. And you always depend on guys that can score goals. And Hearts have got one of the best in the business. And another player that's really caught my eye is Vargas. I think he's been terrific. I really do. And if they can get the service there today with Forrest as well, they could be a handful.
No such thing as a one-man team, etc., etc., Mark Wilson. But how can you look beyond Lauren Shankland, who has 28 goals for Hearts this season? Now that we're in awards season, he will possibly slash probably be the player of the season in Scotland. And he will be up against a different centre-back pairing today. And there's the small matter of the Euros round the corner as well.
Well, as my opinion, he will be player of the year. So you've got to look upon that as someone who will carry a threat no matter what today. He could be quiet for an hour, hardly touch the ball, but one thing he's got is that instinct to find the back of the net. Now that could be from a cutback and a 6 yard tap in, or equally it could be from a 25 yard, you know, nothing happening, and he puts it in the top corner. That's the variety what a Shankland's got in his game. That's why, in my opinion, he will be player of the year, and he will go to the Euros.
Can I just say, he was the most talked about player in the country the last time Rangers played Hearts at Ibrox. Final score, Rangers 5, Hearts 0.
Yeah, but we said this yesterday though, whether Rangers have had a bad week or not, none of that is going to change the fact Rangers are big favourites for this game. We bang on about budgets and all that stuff when it suits us in Europe. Rangers would need to be in an inexplicably bad place to still not be big favourites going into this.
Yeah, well, look at Aberdeen 0, Celtic 6. Was it early on the season, or 6-0 Celtic at Celtic Park?
Yeah, and then 3 each yesterday.
Yeah, 3 each yesterday. There is always a threat when it comes to knockout cup football and a neutral venue. There's always a threat, particularly when you've got a guy like Shanklin.
Having said that, Hugh is on the right track, Gordon, in terms of Hearts not wanting to let this one sort of pass them by. It's been such a mixed bag, so it's hard to know which one you get. The 5-0, disastrous. But let's not be selective, because there was the other game that they were leading going into the last couple of minutes and really should have won that one. And the one, apparently, that, speaking to Stephen Naismith and Lauren Shankland during the week, the one that really does annoy them is the League Cup game earlier in the season at Hampden, where 3-1 Rangers, it was a late penalty from Lauren Shankland, and they feel that was the one that passed them by a bit.
Yeah, and they don't want to be the same today, Gordon. I think that the Hearts camp will look at this, especially after the last two games with Rangers, the criticism that they've come under. and think this is a real opportunity. But it's all right saying that. It's cup football. We've seen that yesterday with Aberdeen. Their league campaign is terrible, but it was so exciting. They could have eventually found themselves in a final, only for the fact of penalty kicks. And congratulations to Celtic. Hearts will look at this today. Now, as I said, they've got good experience. They've got good players. And they've got a goal scorer that is probably the best in the business just now. So it all adds up for Hearts. But when you get to the big occasion, it's how you handle it today. Rangers will know how to handle this today at Hampden semi-final. But can Hearts step up to the plate? I think we're in for a terrific afternoon.
And ultimately, Mark, as boring as this is, they still need Rangers to be off it a bit.
That's just the reality of it.
To hope that the form from the last couple of games continues to an extent.
Yeah, without doubt. You know, Celtic or Rangers need to be a bit off their full tempo, and Hearts really need to be at it to win this game. That is the reality where we sit in Scotland at the minute. The gap between the players is that great. Celtic and Rangers players to the rest. Take away Shankland, possibly. But that is the reality. So if Rangers are off it in any respect and Hearts are right at it, then Rangers will be in trouble. Equally, if Rangers start bright, much like we were seeing about Celtic yesterday, if they start bright, if they start quick, if they impose themselves in the game, then it could be another tough afternoon for Hearts.
Okay, it's all set at the National Stadium. We've given you the team news. We've had a good look at the big talking points. And when we return, we'll take a look back at yesterday, because there is quite a lot to get through.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel in the warmth of Clyde One HQ at Hampden. Andrew McLean is keeping us up to speed on the build-up to the big game between Rangers and Hearts in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Big team news, if you've not heard it yet, no Conor Goldson in the starting 11. He's been dropped by Philippe Clement for today's game. One of a number of changes which sees the likes of Cyril Dessers and Rabi Matondo return to the starting 11. Craig Gordon starts in goal for Hearts, and of course Lawrence Shankland leading the line. What's at stake today is a place in the final, where the winner will meet Celtic after a day, Hugh Keevans, that will live long in the memory.
Well, I've already gone on the record now as saying maybe the greatest Scottish Cup tie ever played. Where do you begin? Entertainment, 100%. Eccentricity, 100%. Bizarre, 100%. Who ever saw a goalkeeper fall down with cramp during a penalty shootout? Who ever saw a goalkeeper miss a penalty and then save the penalty that puts his team into the final? It was chaotic. It was absorbing, compelling. It was everything you want from a football match. There were good goals. There was horrendous defending, mainly from Celtic. And it was all the fun of the fair. Aberdeen deserve immense credit. They came down from Glasgow, more or less rejected by a lot of their supporters. Only 8,000 tickets sold. And you can understand why. Bottom six, on to the third manager of the season. But they were terrific. And Celtic got by the skin of their teeth. But oh my, what a day.
You've possibly been kind leaving Angus McDonald out of the horrific defending. But he did pop up with a crucial goal. Mark, it just had everything, didn't it? It was incredible.
Well, Hugh describes it perfectly well there. I mean, it just had a bit of everything. Even up until the moment that we thought Aberdeen had a penalty to equalise, to make it three each, and no one knew what was going on. And then the free kicks awarded.
You called it.
Yeah, but the broadcaster, they were all over the place. They didn't show any wide shot that we could all understand. So you saw Carter Vickers with his head in his hands, and you thought that is a penalty, only for Aberdeen to go over that disappointment and then score an equaliser. You're right, mentioning Angus McDonald had a horrible afternoon, but then steps up to score the equaliser. He put away a penalty as well, didn't he? So, you know, well done to him for that. But just an incredible game. And I said yesterday, the players should take all credit, because semi-finals, having been there tense occasions, you don't want to really make a mistake. It's usually played a bit of a tactical battle. I thought yesterday was the opposite. I thought the players gave everything and ran their hearts out.
All anyone's ever really aiming to achieve on a day like yesterday, Gordon, is to wake up today and know that you're the one that's in the final, and then the rest is a lot less important. But my goodness, that doesn't excuse the fact that we went on quite a journey to get there.
Yeah, it started at 12:30 and I think finished about 3:30 or something. We were all knackered in here talking about it. I don't know how the players felt after being involved in it, but I've got to say, the quality for me, the quality not just of the game, the excitement, the quality of the goals were brilliant. If you go and analyse them, I sat and watched them last night again, and the especially five goals from Aberdeen and Celtic. The movement, the passing, the finishing, everything to do with it was absolutely brilliant. That game had everything. And then for a neutral to go to penalty kicks is the most exciting ever.
I mean, I don't know, we go through them one by one. We might need to do it quite quickly. The first goal, which is very early, that's a real surprise at that moment in time. Where's the balance between Celtic need to defend that better and hats off for a very tidy piece of play from Aberdeen?
Look, for me, Gordon, at the time, I said Cameron Carter-Vickers could have been a yard over his left to intercept that pass. Having then watched it over and over again, I need to give full credit to the pass, because when you look at Carter-Vickers and Scales, they are 2 yards apart. 2 yards apart. And Clarkson's weight of pass direction has to be spot on. You also have to get the run in behind Fremiowski. I think it's a brilliantly constructed goal, and sometimes you just got to take your hat off to that. So I thought it was a great opening. I thought it was always going to be important who scored the first goal. If Celtic had scored the first goal against an Aberdeen team who have been struggling this season, then I don't think we would have got the spectacle we got. But Aberdeen score it opens up, and it was a fantastic start.
And then Hugh, as well as Aberdeen did, and not the plaudits that we'll give them in a second for the way that they rallied late, you probably know that you can't gift Celtic goals in games like that and expect to win. And unfortunately that was the case for Angus MacDonald with the equaliser.
The day was full of twists of fate. Angus MacDonald is made captain for the day because Shinnie is suspended and can play no part. And then he gets caught. He dillies, he dallies, and he falls to the ground. Kyogo cannot get his feet organised to take the chance that he has made for himself by getting the ball off MacDonald, but Kuhn is there to tidy up and he equalises. So Celtic caught cold and then began to get hot.
Yeah, as Hugh says, so many twists and turns. When Celtic are looking for a game changer, they turn to James Forrest, a man who has scored loads of goals at Hampden, loads of goals against Aberdeen. It was such an immediate impact as well, wasn't it, from him?
I thought it was a great decision from Brendan Rodgers, because he's got players like Palmer, who I thought everybody maybe would be looking, thinking, well, he's the one that's got to come on and try and turn the game. I detest people that write off experienced players.
Detest them.
I think in this country we've got a terrible habit of that. The minute they go on the bench, and it'll be like Goldson. People have seen Goldson drop today and go, oh, that's unfinished. It's not right. Sometimes you go through bad times and off form, but going on to yesterday, Forrest comes on. James Forrest knows how to turn football games. He knows how to win football games. He knows how to win trophies. He was absolutely brilliant when he came on. Great cut in from the left-hand side. He's only thinking of one thing. He's not great pace on it. Okay, we can look at the defence there, but it's a terrific finish for him, and I'm delighted, because I think he adds so much to Celtic, as you know, coming off that bench and performing the way he does.
Now, this is where everybody's expecting Celtic to get over the line for the first time, and we'll deal with the second time in a second, Mark, but great character, Aberdeen. How much does Celtic need to manage the game better and defend better at that point?
Oh, without doubt. And I think when you bring on fresh legs, it's for those moments where you are not so much hanging on, but just to see out the closing stages. So when Palmer gets that ball and he should take a touch, or he should do much better, he swipes at it, no composure, gives the ball away. Now, when it goes to wide area, Alistair Johnson, maybe heavy-legged, didn't get out quick enough to hoil it. Again, I've got to give credit to Hoyle, because being in that position, 89 minutes on the clock, to dig that out to the back post, it was a fantastic cross and a good finish.
There's another twist of fate. Hoyle has the easiest chance of all and blows it by taking a horrendous touch and then putting the ball into the side netting. So everywhere you turned, yep, there was a twist of fate.
I'll speed it up because there's so many. Matt O'Reilly put Celtic back in front. Good finish from him. Very
well,
good goal.
Yeah.
Now you're really, really expecting Celtic to see it out because it's their second time of taking the initiative, and up pop Aberdeen again, but only after what would be the most controversial moment in the game. Now, it doesn't mean it's not a talking point, I suppose. Fortunately, it doesn't have that devastating impact on the result because Aberdeen go and score seconds after and send us to penalties anyway. However, the penalty incident, and I think a lot of confusion, and I'm still seeing a lot of analysis on did Carter Vickers foul Junior Hoylett, when actually that's a bit of a moot point. Mm. Don Robertson sees a what he thinks is a foul on Alistair Johnson by Junior Hoylett. Now there is obviously an intrigue there as to, well, why did he wait so long to blow the whistle? Only Don Robertson can answer that. But that is the crux of it. He points, as Mark Wilson says, the problem is it looks like he points to the penalty spot, but he points then the other way. He's given the foul. It's then over to VAR essentially to assess, did he make an error there? Was that a clear and obvious error? Was that not a foul? And should a penalty be given? I feel like I'm still seeing this reported that VAR decided that it wasn't a foul by Carter Vickers, which is not the case. But the bit that is frustrating people, Gordon, why did he take so long to blow the whistle? And was it a foul on Alistair Johnson? I mean, I'll show you again. You all can watch right in front of us. In isolation, is this a foul on Alistair Johnson? I mean, this is radio, so...
No, absolutely not.
I'm with you. I think he's every right to go and attack that ball. I think that Alistair Johnson makes the most of it, I've got to be honest. But I would be disappointed if that was given against me. That's only my humble opinion.
I think that's a foul. I think, I'm not saying it as a Celtic minded voice in the show, I'm not saying it even as a fullback. I think if that's anybody else in the pitch and someone goes right into the back of you and you go down, if that's a striker,
you don't think that's given in the centre circle?
No.
That is madness, in my opinion. That is a foul anywhere on the pitch.
Gordon Dale, the test people who say that his points are madness.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. I don't say your points are madness. Just
you're allowed to know.
Points,
fine. Yeah. No, fight if you want.
I'm not that rude. But,
okay, what but you said? Alistair Johnson made the most of that there.
I don't.
Alistair Johnson is mid air. You can physically, you can clearly see his body going one way when Hoylett goes into his shoulders.
Keep talking. You've got another gig in Celtic TV shortly.
Do you think that Alistair Johnson, your words, made the most of that thinking? I'm going to contort my body to make the most of this midair.
Listen, I think that he goes for a ball, the two of them miss the ball, right? Two of them miss the ball. I don't think that's enough to give a free kick. My opinion.
There's another twist of fate.
Here's the other frustrating bit. I know people hate this bit of VAR and you almost think, well, bin this bit because what's the point? But once he has given it, then is that ever going to get overturned? Do you know what I mean? He gives the free kick initially, so the kind of bar becomes different, if you like.
Yeah, well, obviously it didn't get overturned. If it plays on, and I think this is where everybody, it's a certain penalty kick, I think everybody will agree with that.
Surely no one's disagreeing.
The big decision is, and we've all got different opinions, and people out there listening all have different opinions. I just don't think that's enough for to give a foul.
But you can't. The point I think you were making, I don't think that's a clear and obvious. Well, look, we're splitting this studio over it. So is it clear and obvious? Don Robertson obviously thought it was at the time, and gave the foul. So he's never going to then overturn it.
The great thing is it didn't waste the spectacle of the game
because Aberdeen won't score. So that the injustice as such is not. Yeah. It's not that it's not there, but it's short-lived.
Well, that's the other twist of fate. The man Brendan Rodgers called incompetent a month ago gave the foul. He might have been slow with the whistle. As you said earlier on, he'll have to explain himself over that one. But everywhere you turned, twists of fate.
Plenty of drama. Can we even get a fraction of the drama and excitement at Hampden today? We'll go back there next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hampden Park is the destination. 15 minutes to go. Andrew McLean is there. What's the latest from the National Stadium?
Yeah, filling up nicely. It is a 50-50 split, of course, today in the ticket allocation, so should be a good atmosphere. Not all the seats filled yet, but it is getting there. Rangers fans, about 21,000 of them over to my left, over to my right. There won't be as many Hearts fans. I don't think they've sold out their full allocation. Hearts will have to foot the bill for that, but they are close to that 21,000 number as well. Just hearing some comments as well from Philip Clement. Obviously the big team news ahead of this one was Connor Goldson being dropped to the bench for the game. Philip Clement asked about that before this match. He says Connor's played a lot of games in the last couple of months, a lot of minutes, did a lot of really good things, and that's why we're the best defence in the league. But he was also lacking some freshness. I had this plan on Wednesday, but Leon Balogun became sick at the last minute, so it's more important to gain freshness again. So Philip Clement saying it's not a loss of form, he's saying it's freshness that is the reason that Connor Goldson has dropped out and Leon Balogun has come in for them.
You take a man at his word. I don't think legally secure enough to call the man a liar.
No.
But if you're going to pick your and I take the point, Balogun was sick, but you don't choose a Scottish Cup semi-final to just allow your main defender, who's never missed a game, to get fresh.
He has anticipated the question. He has had his explanation of him ready, and we cannot question the man because we don't know anything to the contrary. But I think, again, to go back to the Super Scoreboard jury on the telephone lines Monday to Friday, they pinpointed Goldson, amongst others. And is it so hard to understand that the manager should say, well, look, I think I'm better off without him on this occasion?
Because that is all well and good, Mark. That probably was the case. That bit sounds absolutely... You know, Philippe Clement would have preferred to rest Conor Goldson on Wednesday for the trip to Dundee, but so that he'd be fresh for this.
Yeah.
Because this is so big.
Oh, of course.
This is still big, and Conor Goldson's not playing. It's almost, you know, is it almost a convenience, if you like, then? He was never maybe going to come out and say, oh, he's been hopeless, so I've left him out.
Yeah, very rarely do you hear managers say that pre-match, because he could quite easily need Goldson within 10 minutes if Balogun or Suter goes down. So he's got to keep him happy. But I think it's quite clear from everybody's point of view, Goldson's been out of form. Balogun would have played had he been fit on Wednesday night. Had he played well, I would have assumed he would have kept his place anyway. So, look, he's used this opportunity. You get games, big games within a season. Celtic are on the calendar, Aberdeen away probably, Hearts away, and then you get your cup games, your games at Hampden. Those are your big marquee games that you want your best team on the pitch. And when you've got your full selection, you pick your best team. For me, Philippe Clement has done that today. It's not about resting players or anything like that. He thinks that this is his best 11 to go and win this game and put them in the final.
It's simple. He's been dropped. Don't fall into this. And I understand why the Rangers manager's doing it. He's out there, you know, he's faced with the TV cameras, the press. He doesn't want to show his player under the bus. Oh, well, it's a bit of freshness. Rangers fans have come in for Goldson, Tavernier and Lundstrom. I said it the other night there. Tavernier's playing, Lundstrom's playing. Goldson has not been left out to freshen up the team. Goldson's been left out because he's for him. Let's be honest. And I think every Rangers supporter listening to us understands that. But I'm quite happy for the Rangers manager to go down that line, but I certainly don't buy it.
I'll let you into the inner workings of my brain, places that people should never go when you're trying to think about how you're going to go about the show, how you're going to have these pre-match discussions. You want to stay away from cliches. You don't want to keep going down the same sort of path that you do before every game, but some things are unavoidable. How important is it that Rangers start this game well, specifically on the back of the last three, where Daizen Maeda scores after what felt like 2 seconds? Ross County should have scored as early on, and arguably so should Dundee as well. You know, it seems like that very initial moment or two in the last couple of games have really set the tone for them.
All I can tell you is that Rangers are in the dock today. The manager and every player who starts the game, irrespective of whether they've been in or out of the team of late, the Rangers fans have put the team and the manager in the dock. They are under scrutiny from the first second when the referee blows his whistle. This is a game that Rangers dare not lose. And I repeat, Philippe Clement is looking after Philippe Clement because he knows the flack that would come his way if Rangers were to lose to Hearts today. So he has taken Conor Goldson and removed him because he thinks he could be a danger to me. So that's why he's out.
First few minutes, Gordon, it feels like we've had an insight into how the afternoon or the evening pans out for Rangers in the last few. Don't get me wrong, look, the Celtic game, clearly they did rally and got what Philippe Clement felt was a moral victory on the day. But that those first couple of minutes, they don't seem to come out the traps very quickly at the moment.
And Stephen Naismith will know that as well, Gordon. I think he'll be telling these players, look, it's going to be difficult because you need to get the ball first and foremost. Rangers have got very, very good players indeed. But if Hearts are going to win this semi-final, for me today, they need to get the first goal. They need to get the first goal. It's so important if Hearts have any chance of winning this final. If I was Stephen Naismith, I'd be looking at Rangers lately and I'd be telling my players, we're on the front foot and we're going to get after them and put a little bit of pressure on them, because Rangers need to get a result today, because as much as the Rangers fans love this manager, and I totally understand why, but if you go and all of a sudden the league slip away and you're out of the Scottish Cup, pressure mounts.
And yet, Mark, I know Philippe Clement's been keen to say don't take conclusions from just one game, and I know it can be select moments, but the scoring of the first goal wasn't enough in Dingwall. So Rangers have found different ways to make life difficult over the last week or so. Gordon's right, generally, and I felt, you know, I think we all watched Dingwall last week, where County start quite promising, but Rangers score and you think, oh well, that'll be that, and it was far from it.
Yeah, but I agree with Daz to a certain extent. When your confidence is on a knife edge at the minute, if Hearts have to score first, how do Rangers react to that on the pitch? But look, if Rangers scored, there is still a job to be done. When you've got players of the quality of Shanklin, Vargas, Forrester, can he emulate what his brother did yesterday? Then they're always going to carry a threat. I wonder how Stephen Naismith learns from the other semi-final though, where in the first 45 minutes he sort of sat deep and allowed Rangers a lot of territory, didn't really get going. I wonder if he takes up that tactic that Daz is talking about and goes after Rangers and press them high up the pitch. Now the danger is Rangers have got quality, Cantwell and Lundstrom, who's coming under some fire, but still a good player, still a good passer, and then they've got pace in the wide areas with Matondo and Sima. They may get picked off. It's going to be an interesting tactical battle straight from the off in this one.
Yeah, because that's what we said, Gordon. It feels like sometimes it's the ones that you don't expect. You look at midweek, certainly last week, I don't think many people were predicting Rangers would struggle the way they did in Dingwall. I just feel like I've got random memories over the last few seasons of maybe Rangers struggling a bit, teams like Aberdeen and Hearts feeling like, oh, they could be got at here. They come down to Glasgow and it falls apart quite quickly. You still need to find that balance.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I would have, if I was Stephen Naismith, I'd rather Rangers probably had a good result up at Ross County, done okay at Dundee, and then had a go at them, because the first thing they'll be saying is we're expecting a reaction, because Rangers have got good players. Their manager is a very strong character. He'll be demanding that, so you know you're going to get something. And that's why I think for Hearts today, and it's easily said in these studios, right, you've got to be in that environment and trust your players. If I was Hearts, I'd be on the front foot and I'd be right into Rangers' faces.
The aim today is very obvious, Hugh. We said it is just get to the cup final. Nothing else really matters. But how crucial a period is this for Philippe Clement? Because we're not just talking results. We're talking about his post-match refusal or non-handshake with Don Cowie, which he later cleared up. We're talking about the differing in opinion with Dujon Sterling and then calling him inexperienced for it. He's had to make a big decision today. He says it's freshness, but Conor Goldson's not in the team. So I feel like he is coming under a bit more of an intense spotlight than so far.
But he's made the rod for his own back. He started off with the 3-3 draw with Celtic, calling it a moral victory. A patent nonsense. There's no such thing in the game as a moral victory. And then he carried it on with his conduct at Dingwall. I know he then corrected himself, but it was another indication of a man who was wobbling. And then the whole Dundee business, Dujon Sterling was correct and the manager was wrong.
There has been a lot said in the build-up to this game, but all the talking is almost done and kick-off is next.
The winning team, all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Minutes away from kick-off at Hampden. Who will join Celtic in the Scottish Cup final? Will it be Rangers or will it be Hearts? We're minutes away from beginning to find out. Here's Andrew McLean.
Yeah, the team's just in the tunnel at the moment, waiting to make their way out at the National Stadium. It'll be James Tavernier wearing the armband for Rangers that will lead them out. Just seeing on the TV screen in front of me a pat on the back from Conor Goldson on James Tavernier on his way past. Conor Goldson, of course, making his way to the substitutes bench, which is not something Rangers fans have seen very often, but as you can hear with the noise ramping up inside this stadium at the moment, both sets of fans making themselves heard as the players walk out hand in hand with the mascots and Stephen McLean, the referee, carrying the ball as well. The second meeting at the National Stadium this season between these teams. It was James Tavernier with a double that helped Rangers to a 3-1 victory here in the League Cup semi-finals back in December. Rangers have had the much better of the fixtures this season as well between the two. The three league meetings, all victories for Rangers, but it's well documented their loss of form over the last week or so. Is that something this Hearts team will be able to capitalise on? These Rangers players know the criticism that has been thrown their way over the last few days. They'll know they need to respond, but it was exactly the same going into that game away to Dundee on Wednesday. They had to respond in that game and could only come away with a goalless draw. So will they be able to come up with the goods today? Stephen Naismith and his side, they'll hope that they can continue their good season and pile on the misery for their opponents today. Amazing to think as well that Stephen Naismith, he was under real pressure, wasn't he, at the start of this season from some sections of the Hearts support, but now find themselves comfortably third place in the league, heading for European group stage football next season as well, and they are potentially 90-120 minutes away from a Scottish Cup final as well. The players now just shaking hands, taking off their tracksuit tops as well. A big day for quite a few of those players out there. I'll run you through the starting lineups again. Four changes for Rangers from that draw against Dundee midweek. Conor Goldson, the standout, the headline, dropping to the bench. Tom Lawrence, Fabio Silva and Kemar Roofe also out of the starting lineup. In come Balogun, Diamande, Matondo and Dessers as well. So Jack Butland continuing in goal for them today. The back four, James Tavernier, John Souter, Leon Balogun and Dujon Sterling. The two holding midfielders, John Lundstrom and Mohamed Diamande. Abdallah Sima, Todd Cantwell and Rabi Matondo in behind Cyril Dessers. The substitutes, McCrory, Goldson, Silva, Lawrence, Dowell, Roofe, Barisic, Raskin and McCausland. For Hearts, three changes for them. Cochrane, Oda and Mackay drop out of the starting lineup. In come Kingsley, Forrest and Vargas. It means Craig Gordon retains his place in goal as a back four of Nathaniel Atkinson, Frankie Kent, Kai Rowles and Stephen Kingsley. It'll be a midfield three of Cammy Devlin, Benny Beningame and George Grant, Kenny Vargas and Alan Forrest either side of Lawrence Shanklin. The substitutes, Clark, Oda, Mackay, Cochrane, Denham, Tate, Fraser, Tagawa and Lembekisa. The referee for this one, Stephen McLean. The VAR is Willie Collum. And just looking across the stand at Hampden here, some Scottish Cup branding. It says 150 years of the Scottish Cup, 150 years of unforgettable moments. There were plenty of unforgettable moments in that thrilling match here at the National Stadium yesterday. I wonder what this game has in store. Todd Cantwell has the ball in the centre circle and we are ready to get underway at Hampden for Rangers against Hearts.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Interested in a career in pharmacy? Apply today to join their team.
Andrew McLean is right. There were unforgettable moments yesterday. What was forgettable were the predictions from you three in the studio. You were miles off it. I don't hold that against you. Who could have foreseen the outcome yesterday? What about today then? I'll give you a second bite at it.
Rangers 3, Hearts 0.
Wow. Oof. Not like you to go big and get it wrong, Mark.
I'll
Wilson.
Go for 90 minutes, 1-1, and oh. Rangers to win it in extra time.
Producer Chris, is this show extended if this goes to extra time?
Absolutely not.
Good, yes. Right, okay. Gordon DL.
I'm going to go 2-1, and I fancy an upset.
What's a real split then? We've got Rangers on one side,
Rangers to win,
Hearts on the other, and a draw, says Mark. Who goes through, sorry, after extra time?
Rangers.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, I'll tell you what. Oh, he's telling me he was joking. This show does get extended if it goes to extra time. Right, Rangers and Hearts, may the best team win. Just do it in the 90 minutes. Yeah. Just look after us.
Gets up the road for Antiques Roadshow.
Not that we don't love our job and, you know, would happily stay here, but, you know how it is.
No, just get us up the road.
Well, I think what's quite interesting looking at Rangers' initial setup, Mark, is Leon Balogun is the right centre back and not John Souter. I suppose, is that just about only swapping one person then, really? You're not disrupting two positions.
I would say so. Balogun being right footed as well. You know, you're asking someone who hasn't played a lot to go in there and play the left side. Souter's got a bit of criticism as well, but I think John Souter's a good player and he's fitted in there okay.
Good chance Rangers early on to make something happen. Cantwell just runs out of space. It's an interesting one, Gordon. I see the logic both ways. Maybe if you're John Souter, maybe in your head you're thinking, when am I going to get the chance to play right centre back? But you know, if he's been in the left side for X number of weeks, are you as well keeping him there and then literally just swapping Goldson for Balogun rather than disrupting?
If I'm honest, I thought Souter would have started right centre back. Yeah, I thought he's maybe looking at Balogun's got good pace about him and he's a decent defender. Tavernier, we know, plays very high and leaves that space often because he comes in for a bit of criticism down that side. So maybe it's just thinking of Balogun's pace, you know, to cover Tavernier a little bit.
We nearly had a goal by this time yesterday, had we not?
Yeah, it's just boring.
What are you waiting on?
Yeah.
Stop boring hanging around, please.
No, not a patch in yesterday.
The goal flash button got a good going over yesterday, didn't
brilliant,
it?
Because the sponsors must be happy.
There was no precedent for it. We decided to use it during the penalty shootout.
Big chance
into the box for Cyril Dessers. I assume it was cleared away by the Hearts defence, or did he get it?
No, I think he just missed it.
That wrong.
Well, space for Seema on this right hand side. It's a fantastic ball. Dessers is onside.
He's got to do better.
He just miscues that. He gets it all wrong on the volley, side footed. He just needs to redirect it. And Kent do enough?
He directs it back to where it came from.
He's not positioning his body right for to take that ball as a centre forward. He's got to do better there. That's a great opportunity. I'd be a bit concerned about Hearts leaving that space down the left back position for Seema. And he puts in a terrific ball. I'd be disappointed if I was Dessers there.
Yes, no Alex Cochrane in the starting 11 for Hearts today. And you wonder if that could be a problem area, Mark, because for all these criticism, I think we all know there's no doubt James Tavernier can get forward to good effect. And Abdallah Seema's involved today, and you're pacing the wings with Rabi Matondo, and Hearts need to be careful.
Well, it was just a basic ball there, you know, just a channel ball. Seema came short, spun in long, and he was in acres of space. It's a fantastic cross from him. And with Daz, I think Dessers, it's coming across to him on the volley. I think he just needs to redirect it with his side foot. I would say for the Hearts defender, just does enough.
Yeah.
Does enough to put him off, but still, he's got to hit the target.
As much as he should do better, would it not be? It would be a heck of a finish if that went in, wouldn't it? I think so.
I would say so, but I think he still needs to redirect it goalwards instead of where he actually put it. It's a good
chance
start
for Todd Cantwell, edge of the box, slips Dessers, he has wriggled away, we've got a goal already.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Just a minute or two behind yesterday. Yeah. Rangers 1, Hearts 0. We're up and running already. And you have to say, Rangers started on the front foot and you could almost sense it coming. It's Cyril Dessers. He might get stick for missing chances, but his goals tally is good, Gordon, and he's added to it again today.
Yeah, he came in for a little bit of criticism there, but I've got to say, when this ball arrives to him in the box, great refereeing, because Tavernier was claimed for a penalty. His first touch is brilliant. His second touch is even better. He just takes it away from the defender, puts on his left foot, across the goalkeeper. Brilliant finish. Absolutely brilliant for him. We keep saying about he needs a big goal. That could be the big goal for him.
Well, that's the game finished. So, you know, Gordon Dale said if Hearts were to have any chance, they had to score the first goal. Well, they're a goal down inside the first 5 minutes. They're done for. And I was so...
Did you see that last weekend when Ross County conceded first? Will you ever learn your lesson?
No, I'm far too old to learn lessons now. But I was sorely tempted to go 4-0 Rangers, but I thought you'd all laugh at me. So I only went 3. But we now see. I wish I'd gone 4.
I've got to say, Hugh, if I'm Stephen Naismith, I says, if you've got any chance, go on the front foot, get about Rangers. Hearts look a shambles already.
Yeah.
Defensively, we've seen the first chance, the down the left hand side, they were all over the place. But I've got to say, give credit to the referee there.
Uh-huh.
He could have easily blown that whistle for Tavernier because it looked like a free kick. Play on and Rangers have punished
them. But Hearts, how slow were Hearts in responding?
Kingsley and Rolls there have an absolute shocker, because Kingsley tries the back heel first of all. Tavernier wins a tackle. Rolls has got it there in front of him to win it and goes in half hearted. Enough to allow the ball to Cantwell. But by the way, Desser's composure, good finish. And after just missing that chance moments before, it's a fantastic start for the Rangers front man.
He does really well. At the same time, he is kind of faced up by three Hearts defenders in the box. Can they do better? Is it Atkinson that sells himself a bit?
I think it's just desperation at that time. When Dessers is, 8 yards out, I think you've got to throw your body in front of that. I think you've got to analyse what happened before that. If Stephen Naismith looks at that, I think he'll be hugely disappointed. And his centre half there rolls the way he comes out.
Yeah, but I think Dessers does absolutely brilliant. I take your point on board, Mark. If you're analysing it defensively, it's shocking. But Dessers is known for, if he's got time to think about it, he usually messes it up. He had time to think about that. He was composed, everything. He took on his left foot. Terrific for him. Great finish.
19th of the season for Cyril Dessers. This argument's just gone round and round, Mark, because last week, midweek, the Celtic game, the Rangers fans are saying, well, 19 is good, but he should have 19 for the number of chances we create. He really should have way more than that. He needs to stop missing big chances. So both, as we often say, can be true at the same time. 19 is a fine tally. It's 18, I think. But he does miss chances.
Well, of course he does. But show me a striker doesn't miss chances. And I know somebody has a bit more guilt-edged or a bit more erratic finishes than your normal striker or a striker that you would see in Morelos or Kyogo at Celtic, but still a good number he scored. So it's all about the number you end up at the end of the season.
I keep going back to it, Mark. I was very fortunate to play in that position. I'd rather miss 2-3 chances every game, knowing that I've got the chances, because one day they'll come, there's another chance here. Hearts are really, really struggling here.
Yeah, Rangers do look at it though, don't they? As much as Hearts are not helping things, Rangers' intensity is miles above what it's been in the last 2 years.
They're at them. I think that the team talk that I was trying to give Stephen Naismith went into the Rangers' dressing room, because Rangers looked sharp, they're closing Hearts down, they're first to every ball, and they're causing problems.
I mean, they all live in this city. They know what's been said about them. They know the fans are disgusted with them. And this is what you have to expect of today. My concern for Hearts is that they are a million miles off it and could be embarrassed here.
Well, Craig Gordon is the man back in goal for Hearts today. Scottish Cup games are his schedule at the moment. He don't think he could have done much about Cyril Dessers' early goal, it has to be said. It was fired low, it was fired with a bit of pace on it, and he couldn't really do much. And this is really the first time that we've seen Hearts in the Rangers half, and they've lost it straight away. So it was short lived, and Cantwell is going to flight one to Matondo. And it's fortunate for Hearts that it's a bit wider. Oh, and then Robbie Matondo does.
I know it's a big pitch, but come on.
Yeah, poor ball that from Cantwell, though.
You almost have to expect that. Rangers fans know that. A couple of weeks ago, Robbie Matondo cuts in and smashes one in the top corner, and there he runs it out of play. It's a mixed bag, I think, is fair to say.
Yeah, we're just seeing the Rangers go back there, and you see, you know, Dessers' footwork in the box. He goes to shoot. I think the Hearts defender, if I'm honest, has to go in there and block the. If he doesn't, and Dessers just puts it in.
I know. I am obviously defer to your expert knowledge over me. I just feel like Dessers often fakes to shoot. It often chops. If anything, it's his downfall. Because if anything, he does it too much. And I don't know, do you do that level of preparation?
No, I honestly think it's emergency defending at that point in the box. You're not thinking.
Is Atkinson not got two teammates to his left? So if the shot does come initially,
yeah,
they're also there to help.
Of course, but I don't even think in that split second you are thinking about it. I think you need to take it back to where Tavernier, once you've got Rose, goes in half-hearted, and that's how Rangers win the that ball that puts it through to Desser. So I think that's the more guilty party. But Desser's, again, footwork, confidence.
Yeah, that is a theme, though. See, if you look back, he very often tries to chop, and sometimes that's what...
Analyse it any way you want. It's a terrific striker's goal. You've got to give credit to the striker. I'll tell you what, Hearts would probably want to go back in the dressing room and start this game again. They are a shambles. They're all over the place, and Rangers can smell blood here. They're closing them down. They're pressing them high. Hearts haven't strung two passes together.
Even Beningame there, you know, strode out with the ball. He had lots of space in front of him. He just held on to it too long, got it taken off him.
Well, you know, they look intimidated. No, they shouldn't be intimidated by the occasion. I mean, I know it's a semi-final, but they look intimidated by the opposition, not the occasion. And the Rangers are going to pick them off periodically.
Sometimes you get games like this and then it settles down. But
yeah, exactly.
We'll go back to the old cliche. I think the next goal is so, so important. Because if Rangers had to get it, I'm with you, this could be anything.
I think even some sort of response from Hearts, though, you know, even a chance, Gordon, something to give them a bit of belief. They've barely even been in the Rangers half.
They just.
But here they are, to be fair, in the half for the first time. And there's a bit of space here if they
can
make it count.
Here.
Oh, and it's an awful option from Cammy Devlin. It was a simple opportunity. Hearts really had a spare man, Mark.
Overloading the wide area, worked it well. And all he had to do was pick that pass, and they were in the wide area, and he tries to go inside.
Mark, he doesn't even need to pick the pass. He can drive forward here. He can drive forward, because look, I think it's Matondo's backing off him.
Yeah, can commit Matondo
commit him, and then you've got a 2v1 situation. But Devlin looked like, you know, he was so nervous to try and get the ball away.
Yeah, without doubt. That was the first time I've seen Hearts actually connect a couple of passes.
And what actually happened there, but look, it didn't come to anything, but in the detail managers going to now, if you're Philippe Clement, Mark, I'd imagine you'd be quite alarmed at how that could have opened up for Hearts. Who was not where they should have been?
I was going to say, I don't know how Devlin gets that amount of space, and I don't know why
Sterling
Matondo was back in that position.
I don't know where Sterling was. I don't know where he disappeared, but it was a 2v1 against Matondo. And they just panicked. And that's a problem with Hearts now. They're losing every ball.
Yeah, they have lost it. They've been robbed. Dessers is in over the top. You wait to see if it's a late flag or not.
He certainly looked.
Yes.
A long way off. Well, those ones, I was going to say, are obviously he's off. Yeah, he is off. But high line from Hearts. But if you lose possession like that, you know, and you win the ball back high up, what you need is a striker to run in behind, and Desser's prepared to do that. It's going to be a change.
Ross McCausland coming on.
Oh, who's struggling there? Matondo.
Matondo took that knock to the face.
Yeah, do you know what was when we saw that? When we saw the Matondo one back, he actually didn't. There wasn't much contact on his face. So no, I think it might be Seema.
Yeah.
McCausland start the semi-final, did he? Was he one of the ones that, or have I got that mixed up with the League Cup final against Aberdeen? I remember he played 45
what are you
minutes
asking for
McCausland. He
played the League Cup final. Yeah. Came off after 75 minutes
for Scott Wright, who came on and kind of changed the game, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, here's Hearts coming now, but
here's a chance for Hearts eventually into the box, but you maybe wouldn't expect Todd Cantwell's tracking back to be a real feature.
There's no composure to Hearts, none so far. They need to settle down. I think they just think that, oh, hold on a minute, we're in a semi-final, and the nerves have got to them a little bit. They've got to calm themselves down.
See him holding his hamstring.
Yeah,
looked like
he's been glancing over at the bench. He's touching his left hamstring. It was a hamstring injury, wasn't it?
By the way, that's a blow, not only for today.
Of course, but there's a title race on.
Yeah, for the title race.
I'm sure it was a hamstring injury. Let me double check that ruled him out. I don't even know if it's the same one or whatever, but
He didn't go down. So you know, it kind of shows you that he knows right away what the injury is. No chance he's taking. Off you come. And that'll be an interesting one for Clement and the medical team to keep their eye on.
He doesn't look in a huge amount of discomfort, Gordon. He's In fact he's kicking water bottles. So his hamstring
He knows. He knows. As a player,
I was going to say, he doesn't look like that serious at this point? Well, is it maybe one that he's just felt the initial stages of it and knows because of his history to come off?
Yeah, I think where you take the positive is he walked off his cell. He didn't come on trainers and stretchers or getting help.
Yeah, just off you go.
Off you go. So it might be the right, it's obviously the right decision. There's no point playing on with that.
Yeah, I think he missed 13 games due to injury, didn't he, just after going away with Senegal in January. And there's no doubt it is a huge blow, as Mark Wilson says, not only for today, but for this title race, which, in case you hadn't heard, is quite something at the moment.
Well, just worried when I saw the rain this morning, thinking about that game at Dens next Sunday. Must be in danger already.
Don, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. We've got enough on our plate this weekend. That looked good the other night, that pitch.
It was lovely. Celtic can loan them the covers again. Can they not to get
that,
it on?
Why is that not a free kick? He's just pulled his jersey nearly off him there.
Hart's probably hard done by there. Matondo did have a fistful. I have to say, Mark, we talk about this being a big pitch and it being hard to close down spaces. Aberdeen did it so well initially yesterday, and Rangers are really doing the same. I feel like every time a Hart's player has it, he doesn't have it for long.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do, especially in that middle area. Aberdeen, Barron and Povara, brilliant at it yesterday. But Rangers have started really well. Intensity, you know, going after the ball. And also we caught a glimpse of Stephen Naismith's tactics. Rangers had the goal kick. They pressed them high up the pitch, but Rangers, showing their quality, managed to work it out. And that's what they'll be home for. Yeah. I think they scored a similar goal at Tynecastle, was it? Where they played to Tavernier all the way through. It was similar to that. Just moments ago.
This is better from Hearts. They're knocking about. Apart from the cross, but they're
we're getting territory now, aren't we?
Yeah, they're showing a wee bit of composure with their passing.
Oh, it's a lovely flick. It's just Devlin can't quite get in there ahead of John Lundstrom.
Good position from Lundstrom.
This is not meant to be unfair to Ross McCausland, but if we are describing it as a blow, ultimately, is the cruel nature of football. If you're Hearts, you're quite happy to see Abdallah Sima limp off.
100%. And you're right, you're not being disrespectful to a young player, but
who might go and score and
I know that, but Sima is
good ball, that.
You know, a top quality player. McCausland's still learning his trade, but get bags of ability.
Yeah, this is more like it.
Oh no, ref.
Oh, I was going to say it's more like it from Hearts. The assistant ref's giving it.
You can't miss that if it's right in your toes.
Throw into Rangers. Is that? I think Balogun did a great job of appealing though.
They'll clap in the face. Yeah. Well done, you made the right decision.
Saturday morning, amateur football everywhere. It's whoever appeals the best. You're kind of hoping that at cup semi final with assistant referees that doesn't happen. But anyway, it's just a throw in. Let's save our real condemnation for bigger decisions, which will probably follow because this is Scottish football and it's what we do. Do you know what? It's what everybody does. Talk me through Jack Grealish's handball last night.
Oh,
seriously.
How'd they get away with that?
I don't know.
Astonishing. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
A free kick.
Come on, former Man City legend.
Was it Palmer that took the free kick? Jack Grealish is in the wall. The wall sort of separates, and Grealish's arms is as wide as you can get, and it clearly comes off his arm. No penalty.
I didn't see it, unfortunately.
It's quite something.
Yeah.
We always talk about number of cameras in the richest league in the world and blah blah blah. You know, Gordon Dale, we look at it.
I mean, that's everyone can see it. Players, managers. That's a handball all day long.
No, his hands were at his side. Never apparently.
He's looking for the old gig in Man City TV.
Oh, yeah. he can look all he wants.
He's waited because I nipped up about the Celtic one.
Calm down. Can you imagine it as they go through the list? Is Aguero available? Nah, he's busy.
Okay, Gordon. I don't know if any of you have played.
Where's Yaya? Is Yaya? Where is he? Nah.
Dale's in the history books. Don't you worry about
that.
That's it. You can't take it away from you, Mark.
Can't. You've got it.
You can try all you want, but it's down there in black and white.
Yep, well, it's large.
It's in black and white, all right. It was that long ago.
That's true.
Sterling.
Faded away.
It's
Rangers have dropped off a little bit.
I'm kind of
Hearts have settled as well.
Yeah, terrific start.
I'm always wary of snap judgments when we're 20 minutes in, kind of either way, but Hearts needed it to be this way, didn't they? And then maybe Philippe Clement will be hoping the foot goes back on the gas.
Yeah, we'd hope so. They started well. They started pressing well. They had territory. They created two opportunities. One that they They obviously took through Dessers, but Hearts have just gathered a wee bit of momentum. But
great
here
run
comes Rangers.
Ross McCausland, they had a little pull back, but he managed to break free, and it's headed clear by Hearts. We are entering, well, every period of the game's crucial, but after that quick start, you did think Rangers would be pretty comfortable. Hearts look to have steadied themselves. Rangers have taken that blow with Sima going off. What are we going to be in for as we head towards the quarter point of the game, as Todd Cantwell just can't quite squeeze it through? Beningame has been, he gets a free kick on that occasion, but he's overcooked it every time he's had the ball. Gordon, credit to Rangers, because they've got three men round him, but does he need to recognise that?
Yeah, and plus the fact he's not alone, let's be honest about it, but in the middle of the park you've got to try and show a bit of composure, because you know you're going to get closed down very well. As much as Hearts have settled, right, if I'm Naismith and it's 22 minutes on the clock, Jack Butland has been a spectator. You've not even tested one ball into the
ball. One goal kick. That's the touch he's had.
Picking the ball out the net aside, we've not really seen the other goal either.
I know that, but the difference is you can have the argument that Rangers are 1-1-0. I would like to see a wee bit more goal mouth action. Is that what they say?
I don't know.
Is it? It's not a particularly obscure technical term.
Would you like to back me up with that one?
Who says that?
Me, there
they,
and now.
They.
That's what they say.
Yeah. I've heard them say that.
Yeah.
I think you're
all
spot
those
on with that.
People.
Let's go for goal mouth action.
It's doer. That we can just sum it up. It's doer at the moment.
She's even getting to Hugh.
Dropped off a little bit.
But look, this is taking the form that semi finals usually take. You know, just pretty edgy, no team really going for it. I know Rangers are one up, but they'll be happy just to be one up and allow Hearts to come after them. And they have got the players to pick Hearts off. Yesterday was just an exception to the rule.
One goal so far. I think we only had one about this stage yesterday. When did Nicholas Kuhn equalise? No, in fact,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it was 1-1 by this time
was
yesterday.
Yeah. Fine, still time. Have faith. Let's see what extra drama we can get at the National Stadium. Stephen Naismith will be disappointed with the start. He'll be a bit more comfortable with the response in recent minutes. The Hearts haven't conceded any more chances, really. They've at least got up the pitch, and it's a dreadful choice. That's why I'm surprised you had the temperament for it, but obvious ability aside, that's why I could never be a football manager. See, having to watch players make decisions like Kenneth Vargas there, where he's 35 yards from goal and he's got a teammate making a great overlapping run and he decides to drag one wide of the post. No.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience for that.
You're disappointed. Don't get me wrong. What you do is you get your wee notepad, you get your pen, you write it down, and if it's still 1-0 at half time, that's the man you go after.
Poor from Rangers, though. They've given it away, and here is Alan Forrest. He's into the box. It's just run it a bit wide, and it's squeezed out for a Hearts corner. Much better from Hearts. That's a big opportunity.
Sign of life. At last, a sign of life.
But it came from Rangers, mistake.
Yeah.
Terrible ball from Lundstrom. Great from Forrest.
Really bad.
And by the way, he does well to drive past. I
Can
think it's an
earlier?
Extra touch he takes.
He
yeah,
needs to hit it earlier, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's never scoring from the angle that he eventually takes it on. But
he
just
does try and square that back, can he? He's never beaten Butland from there. It'd need to be a mistake. But corner kick, chance to put a little bit of pressure.
Haven't seen much of George Grant, should I admit. I forgot he was playing. He's crossed it in and it's headed away, I think by, is it Cyril Dess or no, James Tavernier, sorry. And Hearts, this is definitely much better. I'm not saying they've created loads, but it's much better. What a save. Jack Butland. He was named in PFA Scotland's Team of the Season yesterday, and it is not hard to see why. I think it was Frankie Kent, was it?
Who was still up. Yeah.
That is from 3 yards out. It is a great ball into the
just
box.
Hide.
He might. Well, Jack Butland doesn't know that. It is a great save. Yes, it's at him. He still has to react, Gordon DL. And
so you don't give an offside for that?
No.
Well, you don't now.
Do you not?
Well, you can't retrospectively.
You didn't see it. Obviously, the assistant ref.
Header goes over the bar. There would have been a nice argument.
If the goal goes in, of course.
But you're right, Gordon. Jack Butland's not to know that. But it was a good opportunity, good play from Hearts. Rangers have dropped off it. You know, they've actually changed their tactics. They were sharp, they were in about Hearts.
You always say this, and we had this argument yesterday. There's no way Rangers have changed their tactics. It's obviously just not clicking the way it was, or Hearts are doing something better.
Well, I think they're pressing a lot slower than they did at the beginning of the game.
But no way by choice, though. You said change their tactics. That's a choice. There is no way after the start Philippe Clement gets to 20 minutes and tells them to do something different.
I'm not saying Clement's telling them to do it. I'm saying they're doing it on the pitch.
Change the tactics does sound like a choice.
Well, change the way
though.
They're going pressing. If you want to argue over words, then feel free.
That's what
Sunday.
We're here for. It's a long day if we don't.
Well, I tell you what, I think it's just down to Hearts. Gaining a bit
better.
More composure on the ball and just picking the right passes and working it in the right areas, keeping the pressure on when they had possession there, because they had an opportunity through Forrest. The corner comes out to Shanklin. Instead of, you know, a couple of wee passes, he decides to put it right back in top of that Rangers back four. So a good wee spell.
Is it too easy to point to the withdrawal of Abdallah Sima as being a key factor so far?
Well, I mean, he was involved in the opening
exchanges. Todd Cantwell might go into the book. He was late. Nah, Steve McLean's doing the early. Well, I say early, it's 26 minutes gone, but he's just trying to let it flow. I don't think people mind too much as long as you're consistent, because at some point someone will put a tackle like that and get booked for it.
Yeah.
At which point everybody says, why now? Do you know what? Maybe there's not as much. Maybe there's not as much contact as it looked on first viewing. We move on.
Yeah, well, certainly in the balance. I think when Rangers scored early on, I was probably like the guys thinking, "Oh, this is going to go one way." But with Hearts gaining that wee bit of composure, couple of openings, they look like they can cause problems. Again, just come back to it, Rangers have got pace in wide areas. Even though Sima's off, they've got McCausland, Matondo, who's hardly touched the ball, actually. He's on it now, but so deep. You know, they need him to get on the ball further up the pitch to cause any problems. But they've always got that within them to open Hearts up.
Obviously, we've got games to focus on. In fact, let's stay on that, because Ross McCausland's into the box. He's crowded out initially and then makes a poor decision.
Careful.
But then Hearts not really convincing in their attempt to clear. And Mark Wilson's right, Alan Forrest had to get that right, or he could have brought James Tavernier down for a penalty.
He's run the risk there. He looked like he hesitated, and then he outstretched his leg, but Tavernier got there first, but he managed to get a wee bit of contact on the ball.
And referees have a sense that starts to tingle, Mark, when you go chasing your own bad touch.
Yeah.
How often does that end in a foul?
Yeah.
They know it's like what they're looking for.
Be great to see the percentages of that first touches that lead to penalty kicks.
Just free kicks, even anywhere, you know, fouls in the.
Yeah, try to compensate for your earlier mistake.
Maybe it's the exertions of Europe. I was going to say the difference in a few days where West Ham run the all conquering Bayer Leverkusen close. They're now 3-0 down against Crystal Palace inside 20 minutes.
Well, they say that David Moyes is off at the end of the season. And,
is he?
Well, that's what they're saying.
What job he's
London.
Done there, though?
Did they not take a sore one a week or
they're
two?
They're talking
ago?
About Thomas Tuchel leaving Bayern Munich to
come there
to West Ham. Yeah.
Did you see Billy McKinley,
Badger,
on the touchline?
Yeah.
Did you see him the other night?
Sent off,
fighting and well, squaring up, and you know that way when you're from our part of the world, you can lip read and you hear the accent.
Yeah.
And but, let's just say,
yeah,
I wouldn't have liked to get in his way. At that moment in time, there was, I'll have something like, I'll have you in a minute, you.
The only thing is, he's got to back it up.
A penalty shout for Rangers there.
Yeah, possibly. Yep, one to look at, I think.
Again, I thought that was a mistake from a Hearts player. He should have left it to Craig Gordon to come and get. He was almost chasing his mistake, and then he gets contact with McCausland, who goes down in the box. I'd need to see it back.
Yeah, there's no huge protests, but it will be looked at, you would imagine. So McCausland, Forrest, nah, there's not much in that, is there?
No,
I don't think that's a penalty kick.
No.
Nah, on we go.
Nope.
It hit James. It was bound to happen at one point. Alan Forrest in the face, so the handball bit was clear. And I think him and McCausland, they both kind of had their foot at the same height, didn't they, Gordon? It was
I didn't think there was anything in that, to be honest with you. It must be terrible for Alan. Do you think Alan Forrest goes in the house and goes to his mum and dad, I don't like my bra? The success he has.
My parents must be sick of going to Hampden all the time.
Yeah,
Hampden again.
Oh.
Well, here comes Razor. Great break. Diamande.
No, that's Matondo. Is it not?
McCausland's into the box and he lays it back. Tavernier shoots straight at Craig Gordon.
Well, the way things are going for Stevie Clark, he'll be hoping that Craig Gordon survives the full game.
Oh, don't. Did you see it? Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah, out for the season.
See how late it was
in
the game.
Is he out for the season?
Thinking knee ligament is the fear. So that's no Euros.
Yeah, rough ride for the Scotland squad at the minute.
See how late it was in the game as well. Yeah. I don't know what I mean by that. It just seems harder to take. He nearly made it through.
Yeah, I think you're starting to get that concern that this becomes a fiasco, given the talent we've already lost before the tournament begins.
Another Scotland players, I wonder if they're looking at those who've already fallen and thinking, oh, get me over the line.
Well, if you've nothing to play for, maybe it becomes easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose if you're like Callum McGregor and people like that, and John Souter or whatever, in a real title race, you're focused on that.
John McGinn's going for Champions League places, and Andy Robertson's trying to
European
do
trophy for John McGinn, yeah. Perhaps.
David Moyes will be away by the end of the day. It's 4-0 now for Crystal Palace.
Oh, wow. Billy McKinley will not be happy.
Oh, no.
Just when you spoke about the Forrest brothers, did you know that their sister also plays?
No, I didn't. No, who does she play with?
Lisa plays for Glasgow City.
Don't tell me she's a winger.
I think she is.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Well, she came on against Rangers last week in a sort of,
wide
attacking role, yeah.
Their mum and dad play football any level.
I have no idea.
Because that's an incredible
output, isn't it?
Aye. Yeah, very good.
When they were young, the Christmas presents on the retreat. Whose balls are?
Balls and boots.
Aye.
Is it a free kick or is it a drop ball? Todd Cantwell got like a finger in the face. To be fair, he says it's in the eye, which can be a bit of a sore one. I think George Grant just tried to turn away from him. I don't know if he wears contact lenses, but that's a nightmare.
I think a finger in the eye without contact is
still great.
That would be stingy.
It's just a drop ball anyway.
Well, it's taken a wee bit of a lull, isn't it? The game's dropped off, Mark.
Yeah. The pace of it's dropped off. Yeah, but if you're Rangers, you're still happy. You're 1-1-0. So, as I say, next goal will be so important. Stephen Naismith just giving Devlin a bit of a tactics there, is it? Or saying to him, what you want for Messi's strip?
I wonder that where that is.
Oh, that's well ahead.
I think he said before, did his parents take it or something? Like, it genuinely becomes a security risk, that, doesn't it? You can't have people knowing where Lionel Messi's World Cup strip is that he went on to win in his final ever World Cup. And
I'd have that on eBay right now.
But that's the point. Wait for the right moment.
It would be wasted on you. You wouldn't have the patience to see that out.
I'd sell it right away, mate.
But he'll probably sell it eventually. And it'll fund him and his family's entire retirement.
But you're forgetting, I'm a lot older than him.
You're impatient.
I'm going to live my life now. I'm like you.
Without getting too deep into this hypothetical dream, you don't have, you know, you'd need to be a bit younger to get the shirt. There is no way that you and your 60s is going to swap shots.
Maybe I was in the coaching staff
when asked.
Right, if you say so.
You know what I mean?
It could have been you. You went to Australia when football was just getting popular over there, and you lasted a couple of weeks and came home in disgrace.
I took it to a new level in Australia. Yeah.
And not the football though.
Oh yeah.
You took your behaviour to a new level.
Yeah. I'm well known over there. I'm probably more famous over there than MD knows me here.
As he scrambles around to find a character from Home and Away, I can't really remember any.
Alf.
Well, in fact, of course,
Alf is in Home and Away.
Again,
big Lou Carpenter.
Lou Carpenter, that's the one. Spitting image. I don't like that. I've got to admit,
right? You really annoy me today. That's why I'm standing right over in the corner.
Calm down, Lou.
I know, but because we do this a lot on this show, people always want to tweet in and say that you lot look like certain people, but above them all, genuinely,
I don't look like Lou.
Lou's a good one.
Lou Carpenter one is outrageously good for you. Look at him. Look at that face.
That's nonsense.
The hair, the skin tone, the facial expressions, it's uncanny.
But at least
he's a handsome man.
At least that's a favourable comparison.
Here we go. Just get back to football.
I used to get Deirdre Barlow
and Paul O'Grady.
Oh no, was it not the mum, Blanche? Oh, what a ball that is.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Blanche.
Yeah,
it was the mother.
Yeah.
Can you tell that the game's dropped off at Hampden? Yeah, anyone? Yeah.
There's a good wee chance here. McCausland down the right hand side gets to a good ball in. I think he's got to be asking Dessers to go and attack that. I think that's a decent ball.
I think you're right. I think when you talk about, you know, strikers' movement, sometimes you've got to sense where the cross is going. And I think you've got to see that that's maybe been stood up to the back post. And if he does, he's got a tap in with a header at the back post.
Corner for Rangers, and there's the chance to really pick your moments. So we know that how important that is, because Rangers have dropped out of this a lot. Hearts would have been feeling better about themselves, but we all know that in a flash it can turn to two, and that really has a whole different look about the cup tie. So that will be the aim from this set piece. James Tavernier in the yellow boots this afternoon. He's going to in-swing one from the far side. But no, he's not. Yeah, he takes it short. It's not like Rangers, is it?
But they do have a training ground.
They do have a poor.
It's
a lovely set piece if he's onside.
Well, I don't think he was on.
Well,
I
no, he is flag stayed down. Oh, no. So late, these flags.
But that looked like it was worked upon. Hearts are a big physical side.
And Rangers have been poor from set pieces, so they have to start coming up with something.
It's a nice little ball in as well. If they held their line, nice area, it's got to be.
That's a booking, is it?
It's got to be. That's got to be a foul. Beningame.
He's had a couple, Cantwell, hasn't he? The last one. No, I don't think that's a booking.
Free kick, and on we go. I think Stephen McLean's making it clear that last that one is the last one.
Yeah. To be fair, I thought that was good refereeing. When I looked at it first, I thought he might get a yellow because he's had a couple, but I thought that was good refereeing.
You know, Hearts look to try and make something happen from the resulting free kick. Just a long straight ball, always hard to make something happen, but Dessers isn't tidy enough. And I wonder if Hearts will get another free kick here. Instead they keep it, and that's much better from Beningame. That's excellent. We criticised him for overdoing it earlier, and Lauren Shanklin, just clever, he knows he's not running past Diamandé, flicks it off him, corner kick. And I wonder, is Steve McLean going to have a word with anyone else now?
Is it Lundstrom out and in?
I've got to say,
I've not seen a lot of Shanklin, and 37 minutes is Steve Clark
and John Carver watching on.
Move on. I don't know who the other guy is.
Nah, no offence. Someone will though. Yeah, someone will.
Wee Jake or something for Posse.
You know, going to be a corner. George Grant again looking to put one in into the 6 yard box. Oh. And it's not fully clear, but then Rangers do. That would have been a heart and mouth moment for the Rangers fans. Hearts fans maybe getting a bit excited. And excellent scrapping from Cammy Devlin. He's up to Cyril Dessers' waist.
Yeah, but he's like wee scrappy do, Scooby Doo.
Just to dig in and get it away.
He does well there. By the way, what a ball that is. It was a great corner kick. First contact from Hearts, and Cantwell found himself just in the right position to hook it away. Hearts could do with just building a wee bit of steam up here, put Rangers under pressure for the last couple of minutes.
What was your general role at defending corners at Celtic?
Me,
on a post?
No, we used to go two zonal, just either side of the penalty spot, just
you
to try and
them,
block. Yeah, I was one of those.
Do you know, bad timing, I remember this, because see, the other day I watched an old game and you were sort of marking Lee McCulloch as he was running, and I thought, is that not a wee bit of a mismatch? You must have been trusted.
My job was to try and stop him. Yep. Yeah, he was much more physical than I was.
See, who says I don't live a rock and roll lifestyle? Yeah. Watching old videos of Mark Wilson defending.
Brilliant.
I'm beginning to feel like the young rebel in here, having been out in the town last night.
Well, you were partying, how was it?
Yeah, brilliant. Magnificent.
What was it you were at again?
The bar.
The bar. That's what he spoke. Oh, yes, we went for red wine. There we went for.
No, it was white last night. Because
it was a white summer.
Well, summer's in this
temperature. Yeah. I'm a temperature drinker.
What? It was a magnificent.
You're drinking any temperature?
It was 12 degrees last night. So, what was the play for anyone who's interested?
Hodden the Jackets. Uh-huh. About my dear friend Tommy Gilmore, the boxing promoter. Brilliant. And the night on 1992. When Paddy Clinton won the world title at the Kelvin Hall.
Well, here come Rangers. They've not offered a lot recently, and it's a crunching tackle.
Three players down.
He's given a free kick. I actually thought Hart's got enough on the ball, but we need to see it back. You know, it looked heavy, it looked sore, because even Hart's players are down. But I need to get another look at it and see who the guilty party was. Yeah, it's actually late. Who do you if you had to book anyone, which one of them's getting it? Because Cochrane and Atkinson and Devlin, yeah, one of them has gone into the book.
I don't know.
Is it Devlin that's went in?
No,
not because he's away.
See, he's clever there.
He's got out
escape
the road.
Escape the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Atkinson, you take the booking.
Exactly.
Stephen Naismith has found something to complain about in that incident, which is, you know, shows a vivid imagination.
I have to say, on first viewing, it was him. He got booked. It wasn't a player. It was Stephen Naismith. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah, he got booked for his complaints.
Oh well.
Well, it's an opportunity for James Tavernier because it's certainly in his territory.
It's the worst possible time to, if they were to lose a second goal, worst possible time. You're down that tunnel at half time knowing that you're done.
Because you wouldn't feel like you deserve to be two down either with the way that the game recovered after the Rangers opener. How many times have we seen James Tavernier?
That's quite a distance. We spoke yesterday about one that...
Oh, it's a good bit closer than that one yesterday.
Oh, right, okay. What are you looking at there? 18,
look at the cuts
25.
In the grass. 25? At most.
The only thing 18, you would say is 18, the opposite side. Will he reverse this or will he go in that big gap that Craig Gordon's left to his left hand side?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. There's absolutely no chance.
Miles over.
No chance.
Miles over from James Tavernier and on we go.
I know he's great, but he ain't beating Craig Gordon from there. Not a chance.
Did they not score one earlier in the season? Was that Xander Clark that was in that day?
Bit nearer, I think.
No, it was nearer, you're right.
Craig Gordon in no rush here to take this for some reason.
Well, I mean, if Hearts go down the tunnel 1-0 at half time, they'll think, on the balance of play, that's not bad for us.
The balance of play, they're going out
to Scottish football. I can't believe that. I cannot believe that for Scottish football.
What?
Every player goes over to one side for surely you've got go and build from the back.
But what's worse?
The time
Craig Gordon takes to take it, everybody goes over and Craig Gordon shells it out of the pitch. What's your thinking behind that there? No idea.
Playing for time.
I've got to say the game started brilliantly, but I'm not feeling the love for it now.
You're not?
No.
Well, the goal yesterday had an opposite effect. Obviously Aberdeen, the underdog, scoring first, kind of prompted, you know, what happened next. This has had the opposite. Hearts not really had the quality to really take the game to Rangers for fear of them being picked off and it being two and it being a non-contest. So they're still a bit cagey and promoting bodies forward. And I think Rangers are quite happy with what they've got just now.
I was
obviously
just
going to
say that, Mark. I think you're right. I think.
But a lot of what Rangers were good at the start's gone as well, hasn't it? They're not pressing as effectively as you said, Gordon. Mm. They have given it away a bit
the
more than they
of
were.
The game.
Yeah.
You know, Rangers come in against
Ross. Look at that, dear man. He gives it so easily back to Devlin. It's a good job for him that Beningame wasn't tidy there either.
Rangers come in for a bit of stick, Ross County and Dundee, because of the pace and everything was laboured. They started brilliantly, got the goal. You're thinking, oh right, go for it now. But it's dropped off again to that pace. Is that down to the fact the Hearts have got tighter?
And then that structure's so wrong from Hearts, because Lauren Shankland and Vargas try and press. A pass just goes straight into Lundstrom. He turns, passes to Cantwell, and then as quick as you like, Rangers are at the edge of the box. But luckily for Hearts, Robbie Matondo slips over.
I would address, if I was Naismith and getting it 1-0, I would address the situation with Cantwell. He's just floating in pockets and picking up good balls and causing a little bit of a problem for Hearts. I think they've got to address that. And you look at Matondo, right? He'll probably go on and score 2 or 3. I think he's an impact player. I think he's a great sub. I think he's a kind you bring on 70 minutes, 60 minutes of that pace and desire.
Who's holding down a place in the starting 11? That's the predicament for Philippe Clement. Do you just keep starting Fabio Silva because Matondo's good at coming off the bench?
No, you could have went Seema off the left and McCausland off the right. Look, I'm not picking the lad. I just think he's better impacted from the bench for me.
Free kick Rangers. It's an in-swinger, well defended by Hearts. They're going to have to do it again though.
Offside.
McLean has spotted something offside.
Yeah, Rangers forward went a bit too soon there. Now Craig Gordon, you think, you know, a minute to go, he's went direct this time. Wee bit more urgency. Hearts needs to get bodies up though, round about Vargas. He's the furthest forward. Shankland just playing off him. If they played that way often this season, yeah, Shankland just the one.
He likes
shot
to drop
change,
in.
Yeah.
So we've had the Alan Forrest attempt, and he just took too many touches on the ball, and we've had the good save from Jack Butland, and that's your lot for Hearts.
Well, the one Jack Butland wouldn't account it anyway. He was a mile offside.
I don't know if he was a mile. I'd have liked to have still seen the lines, but I think you're right.
Offside.
Again, they've not. Look, the crucial thing is that Rangers are winning, but I don't think Philippe Clement will be happy with how much they've created.
No, better from Hearts pressing there though, getting in and around Diamande and Lundstrom.
Oh, it's a great tackle, Diamande, and he robs Shankland, who is very deep to try and get on the ball.
Matondo's
a
man.
Yep, Matondo's into the box. Here's a big chance for Rangers before the break. It's going to be a corner, I think. Well defended.
Atkinson get back there to make that last ditch tackle. I just thought Matondo was going to put his laces through that there, but he just allows Atkinson the chance to get back in. Yeah, takes his touch. Oh, he does. Shit. Well, is he trying to square that there, Matondo?
I think he is. Or if he tries to shoot, then he gets it completely all wrong.
Have you seen the clip of Ben Chilwell from yesterday where he should square it to? I can tell the blank looks. Forget it. It's
yeah,
just gone
I think
viral.
I've seen that one.
Where he's, it's just the most inexplicable decision to not square it as early as he should.
I was late on the game.
You think at that level? Anyway, James Tavernier. It's a big high loopy one, but it might still cause some danger because it's not fully clear and Sterling heads it back across. Vargas will just boot it up into the Glasgow sky.
Well, Forrest may as well chase that. He's chased it for 40 yards. He may as well just chase Butland.
Did Lundstrom knee it back?
Yeah,
I think he might have.
Well noticed.
So he might have just picked it up.
Yep, that's it.
Half time. Here's Andrew McLean.
Rangers 1, Hearts 0. The half time score at Hampden. An early strike from Cyril Dessers is the difference between the sides as they make their way down the tunnel for the break. Rangers did start well here and there was an early warning sign for Hearts. The ball played down to Abdallah Sima down the right wing. A really nice curled cross. Cyril Dessers got the contact on it but didn't get it right at all and put that one over the bar. He didn't have the composure there, really, did he, Cyril Dessers? But he did have it a few moments later. James Tavernier battling well to keep the ball moving forward for Rangers. Todd Cantwell got onto it. He found Dessers in the box. He had three Hearts players in front of him, but he just turned, chopped to his left and made that space for himself and then fired low past Craig Gordon for the early opener. Abdallah Sima then had to come off with an early injury as well. It was a quick start for Rangers, much better than their displays in the last couple of games, but after that Hearts started to come into it a bit as well. John Lundstrom giving the ball away in his own half, that allowed Alan Forrest to drive into the Rangers box. It was quite a tight angle by the time he got his shot away towards the near post. Jack Butland dealt with it with his feet, then a really, really good save from Jack Butland just moments afterwards. The ball played through to Frankie Kent, who found himself in the 6 yard box sliding in. He got a touch on it, but there was Jack Butland once again with his feet from point blank range to divert this one away for a corner. Then at the other end, James Tavernier, he had a shot that was straight at Craig Gordon after a really good breakaway by Rabbi Matondo. And Rabbi Matondo just at the end of the game there, he was played into the box by Todd Cantwell but just couldn't get the shot away properly towards the end of the match. It has been cagey at times, but it is Philip Clement's side that do have the advantage going into the break. The half-time score, Rangers 1, Hearts 0.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Half-time at Hampden, Rangers lead Hearts by a Cyril Dessers goal to nil, an early Cyril Dessers goal to nil. 5 minutes on the clock when he received the ball, shimmied and fired low beyond Craig Gordon. Rangers started quickly, Hearts were asleep, and you wondered if Rangers would really press home their advantage and get out of sight quickly. It's not been the case though. It's 1-0 at the break, Hugh, and still very much an open cup tie.
Philippe Clement will be just a little twitchy, I think, because for all the domination, Rangers have only scored one goal, and it only takes a breakaway at the other end. Lauren Shankland having what we'll describe as a quiet afternoon. In other words, he's rubbish. But Alan Forrest did go close, and Hearts just need that one break and they could be level. But Philippe Clement is not in a position where he can take anything for granted as yet.
The only reason that the Rangers manager were the happier is because they're leading this cup tie. And that's the most important thing. We said it yesterday, it doesn't matter how you play, it's getting into the final game against Celtic. But Rangers got off to a terrific start, and I thought to myself, right, they've learned from Dundee, Ross County. They're on the front foot, they look sharp. Cantwell's in that, you know, pockets of space, picking up good balls. He It was him that obviously played down Dessers for the opening goal. 5 minutes, you're one up. Hearts looked like they were struggling, and then the game's completely died for me. Hearts have come in a little bit. They had the chance with Forrest, but you're never expecting them to beat Button from that sort of angle. I'm looking for a wee bit better in the second half, a wee bit more quality from both sides.
It's been all bad news for Scotland international players recently, getting injured all over the place. Scott McTominay though has put Man United one up against Coventry in the FA Cup. Mark, it's been a funny game. It's just sort of lacked that many chances either way, because you would say that Hearts haven't been that threatening, but goal aside, Rangers haven't really looked like scoring again either. And you can see Lauren Shankland having a debate with some of his teammates on the way off. He feels like they've sort of lacked a cutting edge. There's just not been lots of attacking play.
No, look, when you look at the first 5 minutes, I think Rangers, like Daz described, they are looked up for it, right at it, and they get their goal. Bear in mind, they created that good Dessers chance just before it. Dessers scores, and you're thinking, this is going one way. Hearts are struggling here. But Hearts gradually began to build themselves into the game. And if you're looking at them, there's not much between the sides at all.
Yeah, I know these are fairly basic match stats, and sometimes this can happen, but it's 60-40 Rangers favour possession wise 6 shots to 5, both of it 2 on target, 2 corners to 3. You know, it does kind of paint a picture of a game that doesn't have loads in it.
Yeah, and I just think both managers, I think in possession, the quality in possession, I think you see Shankland and Devlin going off the pitch here, and it looks like Shankland saying to Devlin to pick the right option and just pass the ball. But I think lots of players on the pitch for both sides have been guilty of that, especially in that middle area. You look at Beningame, you look at Lundstrom, Diamande, even Cantwell getting good positions, but the final pass has always been lacking.
That said, Gordon, whether it is mostly due to a low bar, Rangers have been much better than they were. If Philippe Clement, as much as he annoyed lots of people by saying Dundee was better than Ross County, well, this has been better than Dundee, hasn't it?
Yeah, especially the start. They got off to the perfect start. Clement would have been over the moon, asking for a reaction after the criticism of the last couple of games, and he certainly got that. And the man that we keep talking about, he's a mixed bag with the Rangers supporters. Dessers, he gets that important goal, and I give him all the credit in the world. I think it's a terrific piece of striking work from him. He takes a couple of touches in the box, feints to shoot, puts on his left foot, and gives Gray Gordon no chance. I think Rangers look comfortable, but just to secure it, I think a second goal is needed. I keep saying it, next goal in this game's got to be so important. Hearts get it, it gives them so much confidence. But if Rangers get it, there's no chance Hearts are coming
back. A basic
back.
Assessment, Hugh, would be for 35 minutes, this has been a very even half of football. But what Rangers did in the first 10 means it's not an even half of football, because they have the lead.
Yeah, but I do think that the deeper we go into the game, if it's still 1-0, I would be slightly anxious if I were Philippe Clement. So the opening to the second half, very important. I mean, cast your mind back a week ago, 1-0 Rangers. And then at the start of the second half, the roof caved in.
The one downside would be the injury to Abdallah Sima. Gordon, he lasted only 16 minutes. He's been out for a long time injured. He was touching his hamstring. It didn't look, you know, he didn't have to get like carried off or anything. It looked like he acknowledged a pain early on, but we'd have to wait and see what the rest of his season looks like.
It's certainly going to be a concern for the Rangers manager, because he's an important player for them. He's a big player for them. They were delighted to get him back. I think he may be, hopefully for the boy, he's caught it at the right time. He didn't get any assistance coming off. He walked off. He was a bit disappointed. We've seen his reaction when he got to the touchline. So they'll need to assess that over the next couple of days.
Okay, second half from Hampden, where at the moment it sits Rangers 1, Hearts 0. It's coming up next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.